Our scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26. It's on the last night of Jesus' life when he's preparing to celebrate the Passover with his disciples. Matthew 26, beginning verse 17. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" He replied, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time is near. I'm going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house.' So the disciple did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, 'I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me.' They were very sad and began to say to him one after the other, 'Surely not I, Lord.' Jesus replied, 'The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go, just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born.' Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, 'Surely not I, Rabbi.' Jesus answered, 'Yes, it is you.' While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, 'Take and eat. This is my body.' Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom.' When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives." The text for this morning is based on a couple of passages from the Heidelberg Catechism. It's on question and answer 75, which for those of you who were here last week, we read as part of our preparatory form. And on the first part of question and answer 77, which will come on the screen during the message. And if you want to turn to it, you'll find it on page 895 in the gray hymn books in front of you. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, the overall theme of the catechism is one of comfort. The first question asks that familiar question, "What is my only comfort in life and in death?" That I belong to Jesus is the short answer. The section of the Catechism on the Lord's Supper makes plain to us that our only comfort is based on Jesus Christ. We are reminded and assured that we share in Christ's sacrifice on the cross, and that we share in all of his gifts, for we belong to him. There is no better news for sinful people than that we belong to Jesus. For in him, our sins are paid for. In him, we are taken out of our misery and are given his comfort. In him, we are brought into a right relationship with God. And belonging to Jesus puts all of life's situations, both the good times and the tough times, into perspective. For believers, life does not just consist of dealing with everyday matters such as going to school, raising children, doing your work well, getting along with your parents or neighbor, obeying the laws of the land, seeking to obtain a good living for yourself or your family, or figuring out how to survive the latest hardship, or celebrating the joys of your life. For followers of Jesus, life consists of dealing with all these things, with every aspect of life, knowing that you are a child of God, that you are saved by grace. In living your God-given and God-renewed life, you then seek to honor him in all your work, decisions, thoughts, and activities. You seek to honor him in getting along with your neighbor at school or in the workplace. Recreated life consists of placing your trust in God to provide in all circumstances. It includes living in the assurance that Christ and all of his benefits are yours. And it's good that you and I are constantly reminded and assured that Christ and all his benefits are ours as children of God. Otherwise, we'd probably end up focusing solely on our present situations and circumstances and looking at them from our limited, sinful, human perspective. God gave us his word, the Bible, that we might know him, and that we would know his purposes, and that we would know his plan of salvation for his creation. And having done so, he has provided us with his perspective on life. Knowing his word prevents us from being restricted to living each day as it comes, focus on ourselves and on everything that affects us. Instead, having God's word before us enables you and me to place all of life into the proper perspective of our being created and called to live, not simply for our own gain or our own well-being, but for his praise and glory, for that's our purpose. God's word is the means the Holy Spirit uses to produce faith in our hearts, thereby gathering his church. It's the means by which we know God and his purposes. The Bible contains and explains the promise of the gospel, the promise being the forgiveness of sins and the gift of life of eternal for those who believe in Jesus Christ. We learn of these things through the preaching, teaching, and study of God's word. And God uses the sacraments, of which we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper this morning, to nurture and confirm that faith. He uses the sacrament to remind us and assure us that we share in Christ's sacrifice for our sin, and that we share in all of his benefits. The Lord's Supper helps us understand the message of the gospel and guarantees its promise of forgiveness and life eternal in the presence of God. It reminds us of the comfort that is ours in knowing that we belong to our Lord and Savior. Let's look phrase by phrase at the first part of Answer 77, which quotes 1 Corinthians 11 and Matthew 26's teachings on the Lord's Supper. There we confess that the Lord Jesus is the author of the sacrament. He is the one who instituted it. He commands his followers to do what he did. As the Apostle Paul wrote, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered unto you." You and I are reminded and assured of sharing in Christ through his command to eat the bread and drink the cup. Jesus instituted this sacrament on the night he was betrayed. That night was the night in which the Passover meal was celebrated. The Passover reminded the people of Israel of God's deliverance out of Egypt, and it pointed ahead to the Lamb of God who was to come to deliver them out of their sin. The sacrificial lamb was a sign of God's deliverance and his promise to them. Jesus fulfilled the promise of the Passover in becoming the sacrificial lamb atoning for the sins of the people. By his death on the cross, he put an end to the Old Testament sacrifice and replaced the Passover with a new sacrament, which would signify that the sacrificial lamb of God has come. The phrase, "The night when he was betrayed," points to the reason why he instituted the supper. In Matthew 16, Jesus told his disciples that he would be betrayed, that he would suffer at the hands of the elders and the chief priests, that he would be killed, and that on the third day he would rise from the dead. Those events would fulfill the Passover promise. There would be no more need to celebrate the Passover. The once-for-all sacrifice would be made. Knowing this, Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper to be celebrated as a reminder of what he has done for his people. Today, you and I will again break bread and drink the cup in remembrance of him. We do this as a memorial of the fulfillment of God's promise to save his people. He took bread. Over the centuries, there has been a lot of debate about the relationship of the bread to Jesus' body. It's apparent to us that the bread which Jesus took was obviously not his body. For in the first supper, he was standing there holding that bread. There was no mystical union of the body and bread at that supper. for the one was a sign of the other. However, not all Christians agree on what this means. Zacharias Ursinus, who was one of the two authors of the Heidelberg Catechism, lost his first teaching job because he believed that Jesus was present in the elements only spiritually. He did not believe that the bread and the wine turned into Christ's body and blood at some point during the celebration of the sacrament. Luther in Germany, where he lived and worked, believed Jesus to be present in, under, and with the bread. According to their position, Jesus was received along with the bread by the mouth, whether believers or unbelievers. Ursinus, along with the reformer John Calvin, believed that the presence of God was only with the bread, but not for the mouth, only for faith, not in the flesh, but by the Spirit, for Jesus is in heaven. Nor was he present for unbelievers, but only for believers. The bread Jesus gave his disciples was used for the nourishment of the soul, not for the nourishment of the body. Jesus was represented and symbolized by the broken bread and the poured out wine. He doesn't turn into it. We receive him by faith. As we confess in the Catechism, question and answer 17, as surely as we receive and taste the bread and wine, so surely does he nourish and refresh our souls for eternal life with his crucified body and poured out blood. When he had given thanks, he broke it. The broken bread signifies Jesus dying for us on the cross. In the Gospel of John, chapter 19, we read that Jesus' body was not actually broken. Some people have made a big issue out of this, especially in light of the addition in the King James Version of the Bible, which records Jesus as saying, "This is my body, which is broken for you." However, the original texts only say, "This is my body, which is for you." But no matter the differing viewpoints, the point is Jesus suffered for us. He died for us. He gave his life for the world. His body, though not physically broken, endured suffering and death so that you and I may have life. The breaking of the bread symbolizes and shows us visually Christ's sufferings. We are comforted when we see the bread being broken, for it reminds and assures us that Christ suffered for our salvation. Do this in remembrance of me. Jesus commands us to celebrate this sacrament so that we'll be reminded of what he has done for us. While we eat the bread, we're to meditate on, to reflect on the benefits which he has given to us. And as we hold the bread in our hands, as we prepare to participate in this sacrament, we're to know in our hearts, we're to acknowledge, we're to remember that he has given us forgiveness for all our sin. Moreover, that he has promised us the gift of life forever. We're to celebrate these gifts and give thanks for them. We're to do the same when we drink the wine or the juice. Jesus took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The cup from which we drink, those little glasses filled with wine or juice, symbolize the new covenant, the new relationship you and I have with God. Instead of being sinners deserving the death penalty, you and I have the status of having new life. The cup speaks of our reconciliation with God, our communion with Christ, and all his benefits by faith. The wine or the juice is a sign of Christ's blood, his blood shed for us. No longer is Christ's covenant for the 12 tribes of Israel, but for all those who have faith in him. For those who believe Jesus died in their place, taking the punishment for sin on himself. Without the shedding of blood, there is no special relationship between God and his people. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. The shedding of blood of the Old Testament sacrificial rituals pointed to God's forgiveness of sin. So when you and I see the wine being poured out, we're reminded again of Christ's sacrifice for us. We're assured that he did this for our salvation by his words. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. The Lord's Supper reminds us of Christ's one sacrifice on the cross. The signs of bread and wine speak to our senses concerning the truth of the gospel that we read and hear. In question and answer 75 of the Catechism, we confess, "As surely as I see with my eyes the bread of the Lord broken for me, and the cup of the poured out wine given to me, so surely was his bread offered and his blood poured out for me on the cross." Not only do we see the signs of the gospel promise, but we touch it and we taste it. As we take the bread from the plate with our hands, as we hold the glass of wine or juice, we're reminded of these things. As we taste the bread and drink the cup, we again have a tangible reminder of the body and blood of our Lord given for us. We see, we touch, we taste signs and seals which help us understand and apply the assurance that we have and share in Christ's sacrifice and his benefits. We remember what he has done for us, and we're nourished spiritually in our union with him as we eat the bread and drink the cup. The Lord's Supper is also a guarantee of our communion, our future communion with Christ. As we partake of the elements, we proclaim his death until he comes. We believe that Christ died for us. We profess this publicly, communally. He came to earth to establish his kingdom. He will come again to bring it to fulfillment. And at that time, those who belong to him will live with him eternally. Our union with Christ, which is recognized in the sacrament, guarantees this future communion with him. The Lord's Supper is a memorial instituted by our Lord to remind and assure us that we share in him and in all his benefits. It's a sacrament that nourishes us spiritually as we meet Jesus at his table. It's a guarantee of our future union with him. By taking part in this sacrament, the Holy Spirit places his seal on the promise of the gospel, that we're forgiven, that we receive life eternal. The comfort and the assurance is that as often as we eat the bread and drink the cup, we will be reminded and assured of God's love and his faithfulness to us, that he has given us life rather than death, and that he will feed and nourish our souls as certainly as we see the bread broken and the wine poured out in front of us. In his word, we hear of this promise. In the sacraments, we see, we hold, we taste the promise of forgiveness and eternal life. There is no better news to be found in this world than that our only comfort in life and in death is that we belong to Jesus who gave his life for us. Amen. In response, let us sing with thankful hearts a song of praise. O come, my soul, sing praise to God. Forget not all his mercies, his pardoning grace and saving love proclaim.